So let's keep going though with breast cancer because there really is three diseases. But you had some comments about BRCA and PARP inhibitors. So I think that'll complement what Emmanuel was presenting well. Can you go through that?
Sure. Sure. So again, this is another biomarker that's now become very clinically relevant because of the availability of PARP inhibitors. We've already talked about the rationale and the mechanism of action of PARP inhibitors in patients who have a BRCA mutation through this synthetic lethality pathway. So I won't go over it again. But in breast cancer, this approach has been tested in a couple large phase 3 trials. The first was Olympiad, which looked at patients who had germline BRCA1 or BRCA2 mutations. They didn't include ATM here, who've had up to 2 prior lines of chemotherapy, and they were randomized to single agent olaparib versus physician's choice of chemotherapy. And you know, the trial was clearly positive with a 42% improvement in progression-free survival of olaparib over chemotherapy. And a very similar trial was done with talazoparib, the IMbraca trial, and the results are actually strikingly the same. The hazard ratio for PFS is both, you know, in the mid-0.5s. Response rate is both about 60%. There did seem to be a little bit greater toxicity, hematologic toxicity with talazoparib, perhaps fitting with the fact that it's a little bit more potent in trapping, but the efficacy looks, you know, essentially interchangeable. So I think based on these data, it's very clear that this should be a standard of care for patients who have a germline BRCA mutation, and it requires testing for this. Exactly when you test, I think, you know, you could argue for ER-positive patients, it's still beneficial. We haven't tested this formally, but I still, for most patients, you're going to start out with hormonal therapy just because the toxicity profile is so favorable. But I think you'll want to know their BRCA status, you know, pretty soon after the diagnosis of metastatic disease, so you know that this is an option as opposed to first-line chemotherapy. And of course, we have talked about this whole issue of sequencing with potentially platinums and maintenance things, but those right now are not, you know, those should be as part of trials, not for clinical practice, in my view. So I think, you know, this field has changed dramatically. A couple years ago, you know, we talked about that there really wasn't a strong rationale for doing genomic testing in breast cancer, and now we have 2 targetable mutations by approved drugs. There's a number of agents in development that look quite promising. We already talked about the AKT1 and PTEN pathway alterations being targetable by a couple fairly promising AKT inhibitors. ERBB2 mutations are pretty rare in breast cancer, but they do occur, and they do seem to be sensitive to potent HER2 inhibitors like neratinib. We talked about ESR1 mutations, which right now we're not sure how to necessarily overcome their effects, but we have some promising leads. And then there's a number of other more rare things, such as FGF receptor amplification, and there's a long series of other potential targets. And then there's this observation of somatic mutations in BRCA1 and 2, as well as other DNA repair proteins, and that's now being tested with PARP inhibitors in breast cancer and other diseases as well, as you've already heard. So again, the landscape has changed quite dramatically.